Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Last night, Rav Shechter gave a shiur to the parents of the boys in his shiur, and he spoke about Inyanei Chanukah, so I want to share with you the halachic topic that he spoke about, as well as much of the Torah that he said in these few minutes that we have right now. There is an Inyan that I never gave a Temin Alech shiur on related to Chanukah, a halacha about the leftover oil from the menorah after Chanukah is over. And what do you do with that leftover oil? So let's describe a little bit of the background over here. The Medrash Tanchum and Parshat Naso says that Ner Chanukah Shahosir B'Shemen B'Yom Rishon Mosav Lav Kol Shu Madliko B'Yom Sheni. If you have leftover oil from day one, just add a little more and use it on day two. V'chein B'Shara Yamim, and it continues throughout Chanukah. Aval Hoser B'Yom Shemini Oslo Madura B'Fnei Atzmo. If you have extra oil when Chanukah is over, then you have to make a separate little bonfire. Lama Kivin Shahuk. So the mitzvah, because that oil was designated for the mitzvah, so it's also L'Shtamishpo. You're not allowed to use it for anything else, and therefore or you have to burn it, you have to destroy it. You might say, I'll leave it around till next year, I'll use it for the mitzvah next year. That's asking for trouble. At some point during the year, somebody is going to likely use it in the house, so we don't want to leave it around, so we burn it after Chanukah. But this is a troubling medrash. It's not just a medrash. The Rush quotes this halacha, and Shulchan Aruch quotes the halacha. The Rush in the second paragraph of Masechah Shabbos quotes this halacha in Siman Tes, but it's a little bit troubling on a number of levels. First of all, the Gemara Masechah Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph tells us, Kavsa Ein Zah, that if the candle goes out, you do not have to relight it. So the Gemara asks, so Reminu, mitzvah, mishu tishkacha ma'atcha tichla regal min ashuk, my love, the kavsa adem adlikla, that it's supposed to stay lit until tichla regal min ashuk. What does that mean? Doesn't that mean that if it's been extinguished, then you have to relight it? So the Gemara answers, lo, di lo adlik madlik. No, it just means that if you haven't yet lit, then you have to light it as long as you're not yet at the time of tichla regal. Inami lishiura. Or we're just talking about how much oil needs to be put in the menorah, but not about if it goes out. If it goes out, ain zakukla, you don't have to relight it. So says the Rif in Shabbos Daf Tesam and Alpadapei Rif that l'shiura means that if it was delekes v'haleches adashir, if it lit long enough for that amount of time, v'ratza l'chbosa only hishtameish la'ora harashos piado. If you then want to use the light, gesundheit, you can use it. So the question is, the Rif is telling us that you're allowed to benefit from the ner, whereas the Medrash says you're not allowed to benefit from the ner, and the Rush quotes both of these things lahalacha. So a little bit difficult. Also, Tosus and many other Rishonim ask that in Shabbos Daf Mem Dalid, from the Gemara, that Atze Sukkah V'Noye Sukkah Asurim Kol Shivas Yimei Achag, and the materials with which you build your Sukkah are Asur throughout Sukkahs, but after Sukkahs you're allowed to use them for whatever you want. So why should Ner Chanukah be any different? Why should the oil of Ner Chanukah not be okay to use for whatever you want after Chanukah? So Tosus answers, Diner Chanukah Ikaro Lola Hana Asoba El for Suminisa Umishum Chavusa Dines Elo Mitzapa Shiichabe El Mekatzel Legamri the Mitzvah Avol Ner Shabbos Lan Asoba Yoshim Mitzapa Shiichbe Avol Chayn Mutter. Tosus says it's all a matter of attitude. When it comes to Ner Chanukah, your intention is to keep it lit as long as possible, even farsing the nes until every drop of oil is gone. But when you build a sukkah, you know that sukkahs will end, and your intention therefore is that when sukkahs is over, to use the materials with which the sukkah is built. The Ramban, when discussing the sukkah decorations, the noy sukkah, he writes, "Mitchilasam lo tinasam el mitzvah sukkah mitzvah sachag v'daito aleim lachar shiva." Also, your intention is to leave them there for sukkahs, but afterwards you never had intention. But the question still begs itself. Now the Gemara in Shabbos Chavavim Beis tells us that it's also the hartzos mos connected. Neres Chanukah. You're not allowed to count money using the light of the Neres Chanukah. And the Gemara asks, V'chi ner kedusha yesh bo? Does a ner have any kedusha? And the Gemara says, nah, it's just bizui mitzvah to shleya mitzvah's bezuyos love. It's like doing kisui adam with your foot. You know, it's not nice. So you shouldn't count money connected to Ner Chanukah. But the clear implication is that neros themselves do not have kedusha. And the only reason not to use the candles is the bizui mitzvah. But that should mean that after Chanukah, that it should be mutter, because the halacha is that something that's only tashmishe mitzvah and doesn't have actual inherent kedusha is mutter li'achas man mitzvasa, and as soon as the mitzvah is over, you're allowed to use it for whatever you want. So what is the story with Neros Chanukah? Why is this tashmishe mitzvah different than all other tashmishe mitzvahs? So Shechter pointed out that this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is really based on a comment of the She'iltos. The She'iltos was written by Rav Achai Gaon. The Gaonim there was a yeshiva called Gaon Yaakov, and whoever headed the yeshiva was called a Gaon. That's it's not the way we use the term gaon. Whoever headed the yeshiva was called a gaon. And like Rav Shech likes to say, some of them were indeed great gaonim, some were great fundraisers, and that's why they headed the yeshiva. And some were neither. You know, we have different levels of gaonim. Rav Chai Gaon was actually never the head of the yeshiva, but he lived during that tkufa. So anyway, in the Shultos Rav Chai Gaon, which is one of a very well-respected sefer, obviously, he has the following. He discusses, you buy olive oil, and you didn't use half the bottle. So clearly the half of the bottle that you never used is not huksel mitzvaso. But he quotes this this brice or this medrash, whatever, that if the candles went out in the middle of the zman, the leftover oil is huksel mitzvaso and has to be saved until the next year. But it's going to be a chashash michshel to save it all the way to the next year. Somebody might use it in the meantime. So Shulchan Aruch says, from the shildos, make a fire and burn it right after Chanukah. But again, why should that be the case? It doesn't seem that it has Kedusha. So there is a comment of the Keren Ora. The Sefer Keren Ora is the younger brother of the Mishkanos Yaakov. Rav Yankel Karliner was a Talmud of Chaim Velazhner. So the Keren Ora, in his commentary, quotes this din that Moser Shemin Shabiner Chanukah Huktzel Mitzvaso, that the leftover oil is Muktza, you're not allowed to use it for anything else. And he asks the Kasha, why should that be? It's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. It should be like Sukkah after Sukkis and like Dalit Minim after Sukkis, where it no longer has Kedusha. So apparently the Shulchan Aruch is adopting the sheet of the She'iltos that we view the Shemen of Ner Chanukah like a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shlomo Zalman makes the same point, that for whatever reason, this opinion of the She'iltos, this opinion of the Medrash says that this is not regular Tashmisha Mitzvah, that we treat the oil of Ner Chanukah like it has inherent Kedusha. And in fact, it could be that we paskin this way, Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, and we do it every year. We say something that indicates that we paskin this way. We recite a piyut as soon as we light Neros Chanukah, and the first words are Haneros Halalu Kodesh Heim. What do you mean Kodesh? No, they're mitzvah. They're not Kodesh. Elamai, we seem to be assuming, like this Masecha Sofrim, like this Medrash Tanchuma, like these Gaonim, that it is in fact Kodesh. In the Bavli, though, it's clear that it's not Kodesh. V'chiner Kedusha Yeshba. Absolutely not. It's not Kodesh. So the Shulchan Aruch says, another place where this plays out, is that Shulchan Aruch says you need Shishim to be Mevatel, the holy oil. Meaning, let's say you have, now that we paskin this way, that it has Kedusha, you're not allowed to use it for something else. Let's say you mix it with other oil. You pour some of the oil right back in the bottle. Now can you use it? So you need Shishim. So there is a halacha that you're not allowed to be Mevatel this l'chadchila. I cannot take oil that's asr, like the leftover oil from the Chanukah lich, and pour it back into the bottle and say, oh, but the bottle will have Shishim, so it will become batel. You're not allowed to be Mevatel this l'chadchila. There is a discussion whether that's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, that you're not allowed to be Mevatel this l'chadchila. But one thing is clear, Yerodei Asim and Tzadites is all about that rule that you're not allowed to be Mevatel Nisr l'chadchila. What about if there's already a taroves, but not enough to be Mevatel? Can you then add to the ratio in order to create bittul? So Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to do that either. And the Mechaber says, but if what you're dealing with is only an Isser Terabbanan, then you are allowed to do that. Meaning, if you already have a taroves of Isser and Heter, but it's not enough to be Mevatel the Isser, and the Isser in any way is only an Isser Terabbanan, says the Mechaber, you could be Mosifal of a Mevatel. You could be Mevatel now. But the Mechaber in Hilchas Chanukah says that even if the oil is already mixed with other oil, can't do anything about it. You're not allowed to be Mosifal of a Mevatel. So the Shach and Simas Haidah says, what's going on? Ner Chanukah is Derabbanan. So for sure the Kedusha of the Shemen, even if you want to say like the Yerushalmi, you want to say like Masech Sofrim, you want to say like the Medrash Tanchuma, you want to say like Rav Chaidon, that it has Kedusha, but it's got to be only Kedusha mitarabbanan, because the whole mitzvah is only a mitzvah derabbanan. So how could the Mechaber say you're not allowed to change the ratio in order to be mevatel? The Mechaber himself paskins in Simen Tzadites, you are allowed to change the ratio. So the Chavetz Das in Simen Tzadites says that the idea that you're allowed to change the ratio to be most of a love mevatel is only by something that's Yisurei Achila. But by that which is Asur Bahana'a, you're not allowed to change the ratio. Why? It's very, very logical svara. He says, something that's Asur Bahana'a, is there a greater Hana'a than taking something that is now in a taroves that makes it unusable and making it kosher? Meaning, that's the ultimate Hana'a you're getting from it. If you have something that's oil that you're not allowed to use, and it's in a taroves, and you're not allowed to use now all of the oil, the whole thing is Asur, Now you're going to add, change the ratio, and now all of it will become mutter. That's the very definition of hana'a. So when it comes to Yisurei hana'a, the Chavistah says you're not allowed to be most of love and vato. However, the Beis Ephraim has a different mahalik that Rav Shechter shared with us last night. The Beis Ephraim was written by Rav Ephraim Zal Margolios, who Rav Shechter always loves to point out was a balabas. He was not a rav. He worked for a living, and he was a much bigger Talmud Chacham than most of the other rabbanim. He was a gon adir. Even his own rabbi, the rav in his community, was a gon adir, was the author of Lev Aryeh on Maseches Chulin, but the Beis Ephraim Svarim are much more popular than his own rav's Svarim. That's why when I asked Rav Shechter in a recent interview, he's got Talmidim who are rabbanim, and Mechanchim, and Rashi Yeshiva, all over the place, what's he most proud of? He immediately pivoted and said, I have Talmidim who are doctors and who are lawyers and who are Kovei Itim to learn every single day and are saying Daf Yomi Shirim, and he said, and are teaching their children, sending their children to yeshivas, and so that's the older, just passing on the Mesorah. It doesn't matter what profession you're doing it in. Passing on the Mesorah, learning Torah, it could happen in whatever profession. But anyway, I digress. So the Beis Ephraim, who wrote a number of fascinating Mata Ephraim and Shara Ephraim that are quoted all over the Mishnah Berurah. So he suggests that the obligation to light Neros Chanukah, you're right, is only midrabanan. But once you do the mitzvah that they required of you, it becomes a mitzvah on a daraisa level. And therefore, the kedusha of the Neros Chanukah as kedusha daraisa. It's hooked to the mitzvah on a daraisa level. And that's why the Mechaber Paschus, you're not allowed to be most of the Mavatlo. Wow, what a chiddush. You have something that's only a mitzvah derabanan, and because it's a mitzvah derabanan, and you do the mitzvah, now it gains kedusha midaraisa. So Rav Shechter thought this is very similar to the discussion you have about if a person is osik b'mitzvah d'rabbanan, is he pater from a mitzvah d'araisa? Osik mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. Right? If you're osik in a d'rabbanan, are you pater from a mitzvah d'araisa? Do you say, no, d'rabbanan connected to d'araisa, it's like d'var shos. Or he said, it reminded him a lot of what Rav Soloveitchik said when they made a siyum on Maseches Brachos. Rav Soloveitchik used to give shiurim in the Maria Shul in Manhattan, and over many, many years they learned Maseches Brachos, because it was once a week shiur, and when they were Messiah Maseches Brachos, they had a fancy su'uda, and Rav Soloveitchik said that someone asked him, you wasted a lot of time, l'chora, because Maseches Brachos is mostly about dinim d'rabbanan. There's a little bit about kriyas shema, but it's mostly about tefillah, which is d'rabbanan, and about brachos, which are all d'rabbanan. The whole thing is about dinim d'rabbanan, so you were mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah on a d'rabbanan level. You could have learned zvachim and menachos, then you would be mekayim all these dinim d'araisa, you'd be learning about dinim d'araisa. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, even though you're learning about dinim d'rabbanan, the Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah midaoraisa. So Rav Shechter thought it's a similar idea that the Beis Ephraim is saying, that Rav Ephraim Zal Margolios is saying. And Rav Shechter pointed out that although Rav Soloveitchik didn't make the connection, the Rambam L'chora says the same thing that Rav Soloveitchik said. The Rambam L'Akdamah to the Perish of Mishnayis writes that Mishnah represents Torah Shabal Peh, but there are really five parts of Torah Shabal Peh. There are Perushim HaMekubal L'Mosh Misineh, like what is a Priyei Tadar, to know that it's a citron. There's Halach L'Mosh Misineh, there are the Yudgim Midah, there are Gzeros Drabanan, there are Takanos Drabanan, and he incorporates all of that as part of Torah Shabal Peh. So the Rambam seems to be telling us that even though the Gzeros Drabanan and Takanos Drabanan are only Drabanan, they become part of Torah Shabal Peh. They become Torah on a Daraisa level. So similarly, says Rav Ephraim Zal Margolios, that by fulfilling the mitzvah d'rabbanan of Ner Chanukah, it could be that the Shemen gets Kedusha on a Daraisa level. And that's why the Mechaber is going to say, you're not allowed to be Mosif Olav Umevatlo. But the whole thing, the whole idea that it has Kedusha to begin with is such a great Chiddush as it is, but that's what the Mechaber paskins, that it has Kedusha, even though you would think it's a regular Tashmishay mitzvah, and therefore, because it has Kedusha, you're not allowed to use it for other things after Chanukah is over. Okay, that's it. Everyone should have a great day and a great Shabbos. And Be'ez Hashem, I'll see everybody next week. I'm also giving, if anyone wants, 7:30 tonight from the rabbi's desk. Okay, have a great day.